Wow, kind of like an analog GIF. I forgot what they were called. I forgot what the cylinder with the
moving pictures.
Yeah, rotoscope.
Yeah, rotoscope. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Like the cylinder, with the slots in it.
I feel like that's a good point. Greetings, Apropos-y, and buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast
with your hosts
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna,
and our very special guest. That's you.
Oh, this is where I introduce myself.
that would be you. Yeah.
Gregory Parks.
Yay!
You passed the first test.
We should have mentioned we're lazy. So anything that you can do instead of us doing, we're going to make you do.
All right.
Yeah, you're going to notice gaps in our professionalism, and you should assume that all of those are a test for you.
Yes, and by professionalism, we mean whatever James is.
Yeah, James is professional around
that is
quotation marks.
All right, let's get this thing started. What are we all drinking?
I'm drinking. So here's the thing, right? I've got a story going into mine.
Ooh.
Is that I am almost out of alcohol. No, I do not need more alcohol.
I feel like you've been almost out of alcohol for a while.
Well, but see, you remember when I was almost out of alcohol the first time, and then I went and basically stayed with Joe for a couple months?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah.
So now I've returned to the almost out of alcohol that I was in.
So you've just kind of been in limbo for the past few months.
I
know Joe, so I'll say she hasn't been in limbo the last couple months, but her personal supply has been in limbo the past couple months.
That is accurate. Yes.
Her personal supply in her own domicile has been in the same state.
By that I mean she's been bending over backwards.
Yep, that was the that was the joke. Yep.
I don't remember.
I actually just listened to a really interesting podcast about where the limbo came from. Did you know that the limbo was originally a funeral song?
Really?
The limbo was a dance that they did at funerals, and they started low and went up.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Huh.
It was only after they were jazzed it up and gave it different music that they were like, you know, if we go the other direction, it raises the tension and makes it more exciting. And so when it shifted from funeral dance to popular dance, then instead of going low up, they went high low.
Now I'm curious to see to hear the slow, sad, somber limbo.
I mean, but we're only assuming based on European ideas of funerals.
Yeah, exactly.
If you think of a second line in, you know, New Orleans, it's not all somber.
Yeah.
Because limbo came from Trinidad and Tobago. You know, things are done a little differently there.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, sorry, Jenna, you were saying.
For a second. Are you telling me, Salsa, that you just stole from another podcast for content in this podcast?
I just got done telling our guests that we were lazy.
Oh, okay. No, that's fair. All right. Cool.
And again, gaps in professionalism.
Can you cite your source? What podcast?
Yes, I will. I will absolutely do that. This came definitely.
Oh.
This came from the Every Little Thing podcast.
Oh, good. I love that podcast.
Yes.
It's delightful. Hmm. All of our listeners should go check it out. Bing! Anyway, I am almost out of alcohol. I have a little bit of Sailor Jerry's left and a little bit of Fireball, and that's what I've got in my house, not at Joe's, but in my house for the end of the year. What? Yes? You had a thing?
Yes. Right. You mentioned Fireball. Have you ever had Fireball mixed with cream soda?
I have not.
like just a shot of Fireball and then the rest is cream soda. It tastes pretty good. My fiance introduced me to it. She and her cousin would have it, and we tried it. Not only tried it with regular cream soda, but then up to the ante with mini donut cream soda.
Oh wow!
It's a delicious mixed drink.
All right, maybe I'll need to find some cream soda for next week, because what I did for this week is I mixed the Sailor Jerry's with my cranberry juice, because we all know I always have cranberry juice on hand. Mm-hmm. And it is delightful, and I recommend it. It's not like knock your socks off, but it is way smoother than it has any right to be, honestly. Mm-hmm. But the reason why I do not need any more alcohol directly pointed at anybody with the last name of Zestera is that I'm going to be doing my sober month in January that I have inherited from Bill. So I will be doing my January sober month, which means next month is mocktails.
Woo!
Or just whatever I have in my fridge.
Mm-hmm.
So
cool,
and then I get to buy all new boozes.
Exciting.
Going
back to what Greg was saying, I have had Airship Captains, which is cream soda and rum, spice rum, and those are fantastic. But I do have some Fireball and some orange cream soda.
What is that called?
I would try it.
I would definitely try that. The reason I have orange cream soda on hand is because I made a trip to Blue Sun Soda Shop. As you all should do. And I'm not being paid to say that. I just like them that much. Speaking of Blue Sun, I have my drink today. I am using Whistler Soda. Whistler is the in-house Blue Sun brand. But I am using the Blood Orange Whistler Soda with vodka.
Ooh. So.
Yeah. That's a pretty color. That's almost glowing over the
video. It is beautiful, and it's like... Wow.
And it's like, and he drinks more. Oh, he needs a moment. He's got the hand over the video camera. He just needs a moment for this drink. All right. Cool. Hey, James, what are you drinking?
Fuck that.
I am drinking this because it is solstice. I am starting out light, and I will be getting increasingly heavy as we proceed into the evening. But far beyond the podcast. Tonight is also the planetary alignment of Jupiter and Saturn, isn't it?
Yes.
It's clear enough?
Yes.
We went outside.
Well, I mean, I assume that they align whether I can see them or not. But
it was too cloudy for us to see.
Yeah, it was. I tried to look off of my rooftop lounge over the lake is where it would have shown up.
Yeah.
We
went over to the baseball fields across the street, and it was just the cloud cover was too much.
Yeah.
But I'm starting with an Ecologisk Cider Perron, a pear cider.
Ooh.
Mm, I love a good perry.
Mm, pear cider.
Mm. Mm. It's sparkling, too. Mm. It's really tasty. Mm.
Greg, what are you drinking?
I am double fisting.
It's a good
I have water as one of my beverages. Room
a very
temperature.
Wise decision.
Very room temperature water, because I can't, like, since my early to mid 20s, just having cold water just is not a thing for me anymore. Like room temperature water is the most pleasing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it's more refreshing that way.
Agreed.
Than it is ice cold. Because the the water's already colder than my body, so you know.
Right.
And then my other beverage is a local beer, or a beer from a local brewery.
Ooh. What do we got?
I am currently drinking the Queen of Tarts RBG variant from Broken Clock. Queen of Tarts is a line of tart ales that they do, and this particular variety is RBG, raspberry, blueberry, and ginger. So
that sounds have my attention, sir.
Unbelievably good.
It is lightly tart. It's not super tart, and it's very light. It's light in weight. So yeah, it's pretty refreshing, and it's easy, and it's delicious, and it's not too sweet either. That sounds so amazing. Great.
Where is that Broken Clock?
That sounds like something I would enjoy if I enjoyed beer.
It's pleasant. It's in Northeast, not too far off of Marshall. It's by the the company, the Nuts Company, off of Marshall. Like if you go past Psycho Seasons, you go
Nut Goody.
Not Goody. Pearson's is in St. Paul.
Oh yeah, the Nut Roll. Yeah.
Pearson's in St. Paul. I don't recall the name of this company, but anyway, so you go north on Marshall, you go past Psycho Susie's, you go past Betty Danger's, and you kind of follow the little turn like you're going to 56 Brewing, but you go right at the stop sign past 56 Brewing. And then you turn a left at the railroad yard, and then it's back.
But in the neighborhood of 56, okay.
Yeah, it's in the same neighborhood as 56. You could stop by and see, you could stop by and see Eric, and, you know.
Right, I was about to say, that sounds like it's right in Dantic Eric's backyard.
It is. It's walking distance.
Awesome.
As a matter of fact, my fiance and I ran into him there once. And then the three of us went back to his and Caitlin's place, and then we had some of the beer
amazing.
Of the beers that they brewed.
Yeah, Broken Clock, I'd never heard of that one. But I mean, considering the sheer volume of microbrews that have sprung up in the Twin Cities in the last decade, that's not a surprise.
Oh, there are a lot.
I know.
So many.
And a lot of them are really, really good. All right. Well, we all have beverages in hand, so what's everybody been up to?
Ha! Ha!
That. Lots of that.
Therein lies a tale.
Okay, last week was big. I mean, Sunday, I had the second streaming reading of It's an Honorable Life.
Right.
It was extra different this year because since we were streaming it, we didn't have the volume of rehearsals.
Sorry to interrupt you. Just give a 20-second synopsis of what that is for the people who don't know what that means.
I should do that, and I appreciate you stopping that because sometimes I go on and talk as if somebody might automatically know what I'm talking about.
Definitely.
So It's an Honorable Life is an adaptation of It's a Wonderful Life. It's adapted to Klingon.
Yep.
So Klingon culture, and anybody who is Klingon in the play speaks in Klingon. And when it's performed in front of an audience, there are super titles and captions. So not only is the English captioned, but the Klingon is translated into English, much like how opera is often captioned.
Long time listeners might remember last year when I was involved with the fight choreography.
Yeah.
But there was no fighting this year, so I haven't been talking about it as much as I should have been. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I'm not blaming you or anything. So because we were because it was a reading, we were literally reading the script, so we didn't have to rehearse that much, which meant that we weren't running lines that often, which meant that, well, just speaking for myself, my throat was not conditioned, was not conditioned for speaking in Klingon for 75 to 90 minutes. So this year was a little bit extra hard on my throat.
Right, because it's very guttural throat speaking, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes, the lowercase Qs and the capital Qs and the GHs and all the glottal stops and that was fun. That went well. And then last week was a week for my shows. I mean, it was, or two of my shows. It was the season finale of Mandalorian, which, you know, Star Trek Discovery is Thursday, and then The Mandalorian is on Friday. So it was like Thursday, then Friday, and Star Trek Discovery was the second part of a two-parter that was a major story point involving one of the main characters and also a callback to the original series. And it was just like, and the mirror universe stuff. So
emotion
it was like,
happened.
Yeah. Lots of emotion. Like the thing that Star Trek Discovery is my favorite Star Trek of all the series. Of them. Yes. I like the fact that they're not doing seasons the way we in the USA have done television seasons for generations and generations, which means there aren't any filler episodes. It's just the arc, and the storytelling is tighter, the writing is tighter, because like now, like how it really was brought into stark relief for me was when Doctor Who came back. And so those seasons are shorter seasons, and then a lot more British television started crossing the pond, and Luther was only like, the first season was something like 6 episodes, then the subsequent series were only like 4 or 3 episodes, and Sherlock was, you know, just a few episodes.
3 episodes a season, yeah.
And I really liked how tighter that made the storytelling.
Oh, sure.
And that was also around the time that I had started binging Supernatural.
Okay.
And so, because I was like overseas, and so I was just, you know, binging. And then right around season 13 of Supernatural, I just got fed up and I just stopped. I was like, this is dragged on for 13 seasons. There's no actual progress anymore, because how many big bads are you going to come up? It's like, oh, okay, Lucifer, God, God's sister, and oh, the darkness that existed before God and his sister. It's like, what else are you? It's like, I'm not even interested anymore. And after 13 seasons, Dean and Sam did not learn to communicate after how many times one or the other sold their damn soul. And it's like,
have a relationship that felt like that.
Like, oh my God.
I'm not in that relationship anymore.
Yeah.
I was just so done. It was just like, I liked the characters, but I just got tired of it. It was like being at a party and your friends who you really like just are not going home, and it's 3 a.m. and you want to go to bed and they're not going home.
It Honestly, it reminds me of virtually every anime that exists, where at the end of the first season, they're like, I've got to use the most powerful spell known to man. And then the second season, they're like, but there, wait, there's a more powerful spell. It's like, but no, you
have to go inside your sword.
it's just like it's for that reason that I haven't even gone anywhere near watching Bleach, or mm-hmm. I have zero interest in Dragon Ball. Like, yeah. Holy crap. It's like, if I want a story that long, I have my own life.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's like
three or more of my friends are caught up on One Piece, which has 900 episodes.
Oh Lord.
I can't even. Yeah.
That's but a anyway. Commitment.
Yeah. Oh my. But anyway, I digress. And it's so easy to do.
on this.
Anyway.
So Discovery is just super tight, and there's like, and you know, Picard and all these are, and you know, like the Mandalorian and the Expanse, and anything now is just, let's just do 10 to 12 episodes and keep it tight and don't do these creep of the week things or these standalones, or even a standalone might actually fit into the arc. Mm-hmm. So I have become a fan of that sort of visual storytelling.
Sure.
And mm-hmm. like Discovery, I never cried at a Star Trek like before Discovery. Like I felt
you have no heart, sir. I'm sorry.
I felt feelings. I have felt feelings. I'm not saying I have not been unfeeling. Okay. Because you cannot accuse me of having watched. I cannot have watched DS9 and then be accused of not having any feelings.
Yeah. See, because DS9, I've cried like at 7 different episodes at least. Right there. But.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Or like the last episode of TNG. I was like, he's wishing he would have played it more. But yeah, no, like physically, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Cried so many times. It's like, damn it, Star Trek, and damn it, Pixar, and then
See, I had a problem getting into Discovery, so I just gave up after a couple of episodes.
One of the many things I like about Discovery is the context that they created for why there is tension between the Federation and the Klingon Empire. It was like a cultural F up. That was pretty much the Federation going, oh, we know what we're doing. It's like, oops, we didn't know what we were doing. And so now the Klingons, you know.
And they didn't just save it with a Christmas pageant? I am sad.
Nope.
What's I the know what point?
But you know, and it's yeah. There's a lot that I like about it. And season two has Captain Pike, which is really good. Like, yeah, Captain Pike is great. Rebecca Romijn is number one, so she's the role that Majel Barrett played in the original pilot.
Nice.
And she's an amazing number one. She is so awesome as number one. And yeah, so it was a big weekend for my shows.
For your shows.
For your stories.
For my shows. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for my stories. And Discovery season isn't even over yet, so.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that's what I did. And then since school's out of session now, my work is on break right now. And so I've played too much PS4.
Too much?
I protest at the use of the word too much.
You protest at the word. Well, to wit, the last year I've been doing a lot better at sleep maintenance.
Okay.
And then, for the last week, I have not stuck to my, I've not stuck to my guns. It's like, it's 12:30. I think I'll go to bed now. Oh, it's 1 o'clock. Okay, I should really stop and turn it on.
Tis the season to suffer insomnia. Fa la 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 la. You bastard.
Hey, Paul, what have you been up to?
Me? I was working in the shop and the belt sander bit me. Yeah, pretty bad. I don't know if people realize just how aggressive those things can be.
Yes.
Because, I mean, if you've ever sanded anything with, you know, by hand, you're just like, you know, I'm hardly doing anything. And you look at a belt sander and you're like, I mean, yes, it's mechanized, but it's still going to take time. And no, that thing will take off half your fingernail like that. And it did.
Ouch.
Yeah, no.
Picture you showed didn't have any blood. Was there bleeding?
No, that was because that was about an hour and a half later, after it had stopped bleeding and everything like that.
All right.
Ouch.
Because I was sanding a piece and it was a round piece that I was sanding, and so it just rolled out of my fingers, and it was just, and that was. That was all it took to take off half my nail. Yeah.
I know. Like, yeah.
I mean, yes.
That I don't in that sentence. And one of them is missing part of a fingernail, and the other part is sanding in general. I don't like sandpaper. So, the idea of sandpaper taking off half of a fingernail is just horrifying to me.
Yeah. No, it wasn't my finest moment. but I mean it bled, but it didn't gush blood. It was just kind of oozing a little bit, and so I had, you know, shop towels that I just dabbed on there until it kind of slowed down, and then I finished up the piece I was working on. cuz why stop in the middle?
That's what you do.
You gotta show true grit.
Yeah.
Damn it. Get the fuck out, James.
Oh, all right.
As much as I hate you, you actually made me laugh on that one. You caught me.
All right. Salsa's exonerated you.
Fine. God. Just stay the course.
Damn it. I made some beautiful juniper and resin coasters. A set of four. And they are absolutely gorgeous. I'm very, very pleased with how they turned out.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah. And so I already have a blank made to create another set of four. This time it's going to be maple and resin.
Ooh.
Interesting. With a slightly different color scheme in the resin. But, I also made a bottle stopper that's shaped like a bottle.
It's I saw adorable. That.
That's really good.
I might have to have a conversation with you.
Yeah, that one sold. That one sold really fast.
I kind of figured it might, but
I imagine it would.
Yeah, I've sold a few pieces. I'm very, very happy that a couple people have liked my stuff enough to want it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is always, you know, as a artist, always a shock to me. That anybody would want anything that I make, because I am my biggest,
critic.
It's your own worst enemy.
Yeah. What's not naysayer? Naysayer. I'm my biggest naysayer. I'm always like, nobody's gonna want this, you know. So, no, it's been fun. I think a lot of it has been. going, really starting with the mindset of this is a hobby and not a, like, business. Like, I'm not opening a hobby shop. You know, this isn't an Etsy.
Sure.
This is, you know, I'm not taking commissions or anything like this. This is just me having fun and making things because I want to and because I find joy in it. And because I've made a thing, if somebody wants it, they can have it, but there's no ego attached to it. If nobody says they want to buy it, that's okay too, because I didn't make it to sell. I made it to make. You know?
Yeah.
And so that really going in with that mindset of this is not a this is not, you know, a reflection on me, you know,
sure.
as a creator, but this is merely an outlet for me to create, and I've got this stuff laying around, so if anybody wants it, you can have it. has right. really, you know, shifted that the burden of needing to be quote good, and
right.
made it more, you know, it's less about being good and more about being fun and really letting myself, allowing myself and giving my permission to let go of that need to have it be perfect.
That's
and kind
good.
Of realize really realizing that striving for perfection is how we get better, but if we want perfection, we're not machines, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's the flaws that make it handmade as opposed to mass-produced. You know, that's why people go to concerts. You know, yes, you can buy the album, but if you go to a concert, it's the flaws and the human element that make that better. And so
I am,
you know,
super telling that to the VP of my organization the next time I fuck something up. Like, but it's the flaws that make it human and make it real. I'm sure she'll get that.
Yeah, look, people go to the concerts for the flaws.
Yeah.
But
I didn't lose $10 million just for whatever.
I gave your finances a concert.
Oh, buddy.
All these extra trailing zeros are my symphony.
Although Trailing Zeros is a phenomenal band name.
That's
totally
pretty great band name.
Not
I'm surprised it hasn't been.
But yeah, Trailing Zeros.
So anyway, that's my moment of self-indulgent zen for this episode of somebody else talk for a bit.
The bleeding and shop towel thing reminded me of one of the coolest things I learned on tour. The wardrobe from the head of wardrobe was that if you get blood, if you get your own blood on something, you know, the saliva of the person whose blood that is a good solvent for the blood.
Oh,
like you could do like, so if like you get a little, you know, blood spot on, you know, a shirt or something,
right?
You know, your own saliva is the best thing to help you get that blood stain out.
But somebody,
really?
Like, even
yeah,
better
like
than
when
someone else's. That's.
Oh yeah, because it's like it's a whole body chemistry thing.
Yeah,
like
someone
else's saliva, you know, it won't work nearly as well. Cold water is, you know, the cold water trick is good, you know.
That's fascinating.
It's still you still kind of want to run with the same thing of don't let it dry. You know,
yeah, there's always that,
but yeah.
So if you bleed on your shirt, immediately go vampire on it and then wash it.
I thought it was like the wine thing where like you spill red wine, so you want to dilute it with white wine. So you have to get someone else's blood on your blood in order to get it out of the
James.
Salsa, has this worked for you? Is this?
I have spilled so many people's blood on every blood stain I have ever made, and it just, I just right. keep needing to add more and more, and it never gets it out.
That's truly like it's a Lady Macbeth problem, is what it is.
Lady Macbeth problems.
All right. So, James.
Yeah.
Aside from spilling wine and blood, what have you been up to?
I really feel like Spilling Wine and Blood is a great album name. It's my all orchestral Megadeth cover band. So there's that. And I had a 38th birthday.
Yay!
And I had an absolutely like a really beautiful 38th birthday, and it That's culminated in the group online watching of the illicit and difficult to find Star Wars holiday special. Yeah, and I wasn't confident in my abilities to stream to a ton of people, so I tried to invite a relatively small number of folks, but it worked, I think, pretty well. So, yeah, maybe. It's every time I watch it, I forget how bad it actually is, how long it feels to watch it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I always forget about Grandpa with the fantasy dancer thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, with Lola Falana?
Who's it? Like, oh, fuck, I forgot. This is...
Yeah, in the masturbatorium? Yeah. Yep. So, oh, I...
Not okay. It was not okay.
Who? Have you heard...
Show, James, it's a family show.
It's a rape.
Right.
No, this one is a plate.
No, that is a plate.
Have you heard the Christmas album, Christmas in the Stars?
What? No.
Oh, hey, lucky 10,000.
Yes, one of the things I love about having Greg on is that his nerd runs deep.
Oh, yeah.
Does it?
Greg and I have had a few conversations about anime, too. So,
how deep is your nerd? How deep is your nerd?
Kind of
I really need to know.
Like, I honestly, so, I love that I can...
It's a Star Wars Christmas...
Christmas album.
Yeah?
You talk.
Okay, so the title of one of the songs is "What Do You Buy a Wookiee for Christmas When He Already Has a Comb?"
Oh wow!
The title song "Christmas in the Stars" is done by C-3PO in a total Rex Harrison way, so he doesn't sing it; he just kind of talks it.
Oh.
But the pièce de résistance is...
That's not it. Okay.
Oh, is God. That the singing voice of Luke Skywalker is performed by a young pre-Bon Jovi, John Bon Jovi.
No.
What?
Yep, it is true.
What?
That was like finding... That was like finding out that the lead singer of AC/DC tried out immediately after. He was already out for the day auditioning for a vacuum commercial.
Yep. Brian Johnson.
That's awesome.
Yep. So there's that. And I think I might unironically love this album if I listen to it, because I love the Marvin the Paranoid Android singles that are available. It's four songs from the radio voice of Marvin the Paranoid Android.
Wow.
And they're glorious. But speaking of records, a relatively obscure record, maybe not as obscure as I think it is, but I got my I got like a fan club kit from They Might Be Giants, including a mug, several stickers, this weird hotel style keychain fob that looks like it goes to the world's seediest motel, and t-shirt and a book, and then I got They Might Be Giants album Flood on a picture record, which has the rotoscoping. That was the one that we were discussing.
Oh, nice.
And it's glorious. Yeah. I got it on the day of my birthday, so it was ordered it months ago, and it was taking time for them to box everything up and send everything out to.
You surprised yourself with your own birthday present.
Yes.
Well, yes. Fucking done, James.
Yeah, yeah. I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah. Yeah. She? Yeah.
Anything else?
I think that might be it. Okay. I think just forcing my beloved friends to watch what is one of the most hilariously bad films of all time is probably sufficient. Yeah.
You know, James,
probably more than enough.
Okay, I'm going to tell you a thing, James.
Oh, shit.
Okay. All right. Oh, yeah.
When Joe and I first started carrying on, and I was, you know, talking about friends with him, one of the friends that I discussed was you. Hmm. And the very first thing Joe said is, oh, that guy? I don't trust him. Nobody is that nice and that good and that kind all of the time. He is waiting to pounce with something. He's got something built up that he is just going to unleash on the world. And I feel like your birthday, you made that happen.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. We got to take away from Merlin's rest and watch Star Wars. I inflicted Star Wars holiday special on a bunch of people. Yeah, this is like you as Lapis being like, no one is that well adjusted.
Exactly. Nobody is that well adjusted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God.
The prophecy has been fulfilled.
Hmm. Oh, Joe should not be the standard for prophecies. Let's be very clear.
As prophets go, maybe not the best.
No. Like, Joe is like a discount prophet. Yeah. Maybe something that you get at, like, American Pawn.
It's like a crystal ball that used to be a doorknob.
Yeah, not a super shady place where you have to go down the alley and knock on the door and get the password. Not that place, but like, you know,
right.
Step or two up, maybe.
Yeah, I was thinking like Madam Galinda's. That's just the back corner in a diner. It's just the booth like tucked into it. And it's not like a seedy booth. It's just the bulb burned out. So
that is exactly the type of problem.
He's Nostradamus, must I?
No.
But not Nostradamus? Is that?
No, been done.
Wow.
You going to give that a pass?
No, that one's been done.
Oh, I did not know.
See, unlike you, James, I try to come up with original material.
Oh, shit.
Notice he said try. He just swallows things.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I call him Salsa.
Friendship.
He would have called him Ketchup if he wasn't so fucking chunky.
Oh my god. This week have been helping my daughter move.
Wait, what?
Mr. Parks, I don't know if you knew this, but everybody that was living in my household, we are all moving into separate places, which means my daughter is leaving the nest.
Wow.
Which I am having issues with.
I mean, yeah.
Like I am a mix of relieved and paranoid all at the same time. It's weird. Like I'm really glad that I have succeeded in my duty as a mother to raise an adult that is now going off and adulting. But on the flip side, how am I going to take care of my baby when she doesn't live with me?
Oh man.
So yeah, last on Saturday, we moved a bunch of her boxes. And that was surreal. And by we, I mean I provided the transport, and my daughter did all of the lifting and moving, because I'm old now, and my back isn't what it used to be. And yeah, like she was like, "Nope, you just sit there. I'm just going to move all of these boxes." And I'm like, "Oh my God, I have an adult. My baby is an adult moving all the road stuff."
Yeah. Man.
So yeah, there's
sunrise, sunset.
That is exactly what it's taking. I was like, is it funny to play that for her? Maybe not. I don't want to die.
But yeah, and then the rest of Jess's move happens next weekend.
Wow.
And then we clean up the house. I show it to the landlord, and hopefully, I get a bunch of my security deposit back. We'll see what happens there.
It's the American dream,
huh?
The American dream. Getting your security deposit back.
It has happened to me twice in the 17 different places I've lived throughout the years, where I've gotten a full deposit back. Usually, like, you're minus at least $50 for, like, carpets or whatever. I don't
know. Yeah.
That stain was here last year. We know because we put it down there.
That's still one of my favorite convergence stories. Mm-hmm. Oh, Greg, have you heard this? I'm going to tell you a story, even though our listeners heard it. Like,
okay.
It's worth it.
So, Phyllis Comedy Productions, for several years, hosted a party at Convergence every year, right? The Fearless Comedy Room party. Yeah. I don't think we were ever any more clever than that, and that's fine. Yeah. But there
people
was...
know what they're getting.
Huh?
I said people know what they're getting.
Yes.
Fearless in comedy, hopefully. Anyway, like there was, and parties usually like they'll put you consistently in one spot if they know that spot works, right? Like the party acts will just put you in the same room year after year after year. And there was one year that the hotel tried to charge Phyllis Comedy for a stain that was on the rug. And the story of that stain is that it happened in our party room the year prior, but they did not catch us that year, so I refused to pay for it the following year. I was like, nope, that stain was already there. I have a picture, and we talked about this on the walkthrough. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. Ha-ha, yours now. Like,
Just like so, that old saying. You have to avoid the tiger every time, but the tiger only has to catch you once, provided it's the same trip through where you made the stain on the carpet.
That is exactly what that saying is.
That old adage, if I've heard it once, I've heard it a thousand times.
Creating new content not so easy, is it, James?
Be quiet, you.
Thank goodness I haven't taken a drink of my water yet.
My first year at Fest was working for Peek and Snot, and it shows.
Damn. So anyway, I've also been relearning how to do origami.
Mm.
And by that I mean, like, I started doing origami back in like fourth grade. We did a section in my fourth grade homeroom on Japanese culture. And we read the 10,000 Paper Cranes.
Sadako, yep.
Yep. And so we folded, learned how to fold paper cranes, and we folded a whole bunch of them. And me, with my atypical brain, just kept folding and kept folding and kept folding, and definitely nailed the paper crane. I will never not know how to fold a paper crane. But I went off and I learned how to do more origami, right? Just like bits and pieces here and there. And I got books and papers and all the rest of this. Mm-hmm. And then I stopped for a while, and I don't remember why. But earlier, like last week, I was like, I want to do something with my fingers. But I don't want to have to actually dedicate. Don't look like that.
Was it the sitting bolt upright suddenly that gave me away?
Jerk. And you're not even looking at the right camera still.
Look, this camera's far away.
Oh, okay.
Camera one. Camera two.
I can
camera
move one, you. Camera two. There we go.
Okay. Now, no. Look at the other camera. It was better before.
Yes, I thought so.
I wanted to do something, but I didn't want to, like, learn how to knit, or I don't have my sewing area set up, or any of my other crafty type things that I do. So I just started folding a piece of paper, and I made a crane, and I was like, I'm going to relearn how to do origami. And I know where my books, my origami books and my papers are now. Since the move, they just happen to be something that I unpacked right away.
They surfaced.
So I've started doing more origami again. And I'm starting easier things, right? I started with a paper crane because I know how to do that. I made a paper sword. It's more like a dagger, really. But like I folded one of them, made a paper hat. And then today I actually made a paper Mandalorian out of my Star Wars origami book.
Ooh.
And now, okay, so here's the thing. Like, for those that do paper crafts and origami, you can follow patterns, you can follow some instructions, unfold something and make a thing happen. When you're really good, which I am not, you can basically understand how folds work and create your own pattern. It's kind of like fabric arts, where you can sew something from a pre-made pattern, or you can create your own patterns, right? Mm-hmm. Very similar. So I was looking in my Star Wars book for origami because I want to do a Yoda, obviously. That's important. I don't like their Yoda.
Fair.
So I think I'm going to try for the first time in like 20 years. I think I'm going to try adjusting an origami pattern. I'm going to see what happens. Like, I know I'm pretty sure I can just make a Yoda head. Like, the pattern that I have in my head for that is actually super simple. But then, like, to get a body in there, I want to get the big babiness of Grogu in origami, right? What's in there is not Grogu, that is Yoda. It is very specific. Like, you can tell his body is so I don't know, like that's my new challenge, is just how do I make that non-existent alien species into adult and child. how do I adjust them to be various puppets that I have seen before, like, you know what I mean? So that's kind of that. Also, I've just been doing more unpacking. Joe made stew over the weekend. God, he makes good stew.
Eat at Joe's.
Hotel Coral Essex.
We watched Jingle Jangle.
And oh.
I'm Exactly.
Man.
Joe had some issues with it.
Okay.
Mostly. Like, and he thought most of it was cute and whatever, blah, 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 blah. But he could not, as a music director, get past the dubbing that happened on Jingle Jangle. He was like, that person would not be holding their body that way. They'd have more tension in their face if they were actually holding that note. All of this, he couldn't get past the dubbing that happened during the musical portions for the musical numbers, right? But that said, the story is adorable. And the kids are delightful.
Costuming.
Oh my God, the costuming. I never knew that I needed that version of steampunk in my life, but there it is. I am so happy. So happy.
Yep.
That world is a super cool world. And they've definitely got a great world and a good story there. Keegan-Michael Key might be my favorite villain ever. He is so, you could just see that character stuck in that little boy that got hurt that specific day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he just never got over it. He never outgrew that spot. And that portrayal of that character was just fucking phenomenal. So yeah. That's what I've been up to.
My thing with Jingle Jangle was that I couldn't not, like, there were times where I just repeated one of Forrest Whitaker's lines in his Saw Gerrera voice from Rogue One. Just because his hair was a little more kempt than it was as Saw Gerrera, but it was still in the same style, hairstyle neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I would repeat an occasional line, just like, and a couple of times I did say boar gullet. So.
Yes.
I love it.
Oh, that's delightful.
We got to see Keegan-Michael Key in another movie where he was not the bad guy, and it was a surprisingly heartfelt movie as well. Available also on Netflix.
What are this?
What is this?
Called Prom.
Oh, that one just came out. He is in that.
Oh, yeah. It's very good.
Wait, because can I just say, I have, like, the biggest fucking crush on him right now after that last one. So if he gets to also do a good guy really well, I might just have to run off.
It's tough but fair. We understand.
No, his eyes. Oh, my God, you guys. Oh, mm-hmm. And he's got a twinkle smile. He has a twinkle smile. Love his twinkle smile. I can't get over it. Okay, I'm done for now. You all talk amongst yourselves. I'm just going to be...
I'm beklempt.
Dreaming of twinkle smiles. Sexy eyes that just look right at you.
As one does. Should we take a break?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Jenna's going to need a minute, so we should take a break. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Thank you. ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
I'm really pleased with how my spinach leaf turned out.
And we're back. Ooh, I'm Salsa.
Beautiful.
I'm Jenna.
And
who are you?
That's your kid.
Oh, I was waiting for James because James went.
Oh, no, he already went.
Yeah.
Yep, I went.
Oh, I completely missed that. I'm sorry. I'm Greg.
There.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I was waiting for it. That's what the pause. I was like, when did I miss James? Yeah, I missed James.
You can do it. Oh, nope. He went. No, he did go, but he went during the laughter, so it was hard to hear. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Apologies.
No.
Oh, no.
Dear God.
Oh, no.
Don't apologize to us.
Yeah, no. No, you're classing up this joint. That's no mistakes.
I should be apologizing to you.
You know what else would class up this joint?
What's that?
A Fast Five.
Fast Five! Ooh.
All right. Today's Fast Ready. Five comes to us from Jenna. Now, Greg,
yes.
do you know what a Fast Five is?
I think I know. You give me five questions, and I answer each of them as close to top of the head as I can.
Slightly different. Okay, Fast Five is we are given two choices, which we have to pick one, but we do not know the context of those choices. We are merely given an A or B Coke or Pepsi, and we have to try to guess what the context is.
The context is given by the complete suite of the five. Okay.
Yep. Sometimes there's a theme, sometimes there's not.
Yeah. Oh,
this one does have a theme. Context will happen after all five of the choices are chosen. And then there will be context for each individual choice pairing.
You'll catch on pretty quick.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I have no doubt.
Jenna.
I'm ready. Yes.
Question number one.
Question number one. I love our ding. Star Trek or Star Wars?
Star Wars. Man.
I'm not going to say I came up with these specifically because you're on website.
Man. I was born and raised Star Piece.
But remember, the context might not be which is your favorite. It could be something else,
I'm just gonna go Star Trek. I'm not gonna fit like things without context. Okay, go. Star Trek is gonna be my answer.
Salsa, James.
I'm gonna say Star Trek because I feel like Star Wars is kind of the Wild West, the frontier, and it's adventuresome. But I feel like Star Trek is more aspirational for togetherness and striving together to accomplish greater things.
Okay.
I already said Star Wars.
Okay.
Oh, wait, I'm supposed to give my context when I answer? Wait a minute.
No.
Not necessarily.
You don't have to. Okay. If you want to talk it out, you can, but you don't have to.
All yeah. Right.
I'm just going to say Star Trek.
Yeah.
If I talk it out right now, I'll make this too long.
Yeah, we're going to have another half hour just on this question alone. I'm going with Star Wars for this particular one.
All right.
Question number two. Cowboy Bebop or Sailor Moon?
Cowboy Bebop.
Bebop.
Yep.
I'm going Sailor Moon.
I wish that was a harder question.
I know.
I haven't seen any Sailor Moon.
Yeah. All right, question number three. Buffy or Firefly?
Firefly.
Firefly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Firefly as well.
Mm-hmm. Firefly ended before it became Buffy.
That's fair. I am also going to go with Firefly on this. So, Firefly all around.
Mm-hmm.
Question number four. Stargate or Farscape?
Farscape.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't have cable growing up.
Aww.
Mm-hmm. And Stargate was on broadcast television.
I've only had cable once in my life, and it was when I had a roommate that insisted we had cable.
That seems right.
Mm-hmm. I'm going Stargate.
I'm going Stargate for purely selfish reasons.
Oh, okay.
And then question number five. Salsa or James?
James.
Salsa.
Oh.
James.
Aw.
I honestly don't have an answer for this one, but since I have to pick something, I'm going to go James.
Aww.
It may not be good, James.
It probably isn't, but I'm still flattered.
All right. That was all five questions. Are you guys ready for the context?
Bring it on.
Yes.
All right. Question number one, Star Trek or Star Wars? Do you guys remember what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Which has the more believable universe?
Star Wars.
Yeah. Damn it.
Right? I was just like, aw.
Yeah, and I think for the same reasons James said, Star Trek is more aspirational.
Yep.
And Star Wars is definitely, mm-hmm. you know, more lived in.
It's dirtier, it's grittier. Star Trek is in a universe where money is no longer needed mm-hmm. and people live egalitarian, and I just don't have that much faith that humanity will ever get to that point.
Sadly, same. Yeah.
One of my favorite Convergence panels actually was one that previous guest Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe was on. And it was about, is Star Trek actually a utopia? Or is it dystopian? And there were arguments about, we follow the adventures of the military going through space.
Right.
We assume money isn't a thing anymore. We're told money isn't a thing anymore, but they have plenty of money on Deep Space Nine for transactions. So there's still some kind of universal currency needed. It was fascinating. But anyway, my answer is Star Wars. It's just more believable. Question number two was Cowboy Bebop or Sailor Moon?
Mm-hmm.
Which is the better introduction to anime for Americans?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I added that to the end of that.
Good question.
I know. I went Sailor Moon because I think it's more American accessible. Also, it was my first love, I'm not going to lie. But at 6:30 in the morning before going to school.
Mm-hmm. bum 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 bum.
Yep.
So, I'm gonna have to switch, I think, to Sailor Moon.
I haven't seen any Sailor Moon, so I'm just gonna stick with my answer.
I think that Sailor Moon on whole is much easier to digest because it is a much lighter material. But I think that if you are looking to impress someone with the quality of anime and not have to explain a lot of incredibly Japanese cultural references and things like that, I think Cowboy Bebop, if for nothing else, the soundtrack is going to win folks over.
Soundtrack's pretty cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Plus, people love a space opera. I've heard. I mean, I don't know anything about it. But I've heard.
Primarily.
Rumored. Yeah.
All right. Question number 3 was Buffy or Firefly. Which Whedon universe is more feminist or upholds the ideas of feminism better?
Firefly is pro sex work.
Mm.
True.
Which is not necessarily feminist, but
not
which...
just sex work, but Kaylee is the mechanic and openly talks about her dildo. And, you know...
Zoe is the muscle.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think I'm Firefly.
Okay.
I think it's... I'm trying to think about... It's been a while since I've seen Buffy. So Firefly is fresher in my mind.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Also,
well, Firefly is an easy, quick binge because, you know...
Yeah.
But
again, you don't have to explain all of those internal references that folks may not get.
But yeah. Well, also, you know, Buffy, I think, ended after an okay length, but Firefly definitely was not in danger of becoming supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and I have thoughts. I honestly hold a gun to my head and I'll say Firefly, but I have arguments both for and against feminism in both.
Yeah, very much.
Oh, yeah.
There are certain tropes of feminist savior that is actually somewhat detrimental, specifically being granted superpowers in order to be the female that does the saving. Which happens with both Buffy and River, and that makes me sad. But I think Firefly overall has stronger feminist characters that do not rely on some sort of external factor to be strong.
Mm-hmm.
So I will argue that Firefly is the upholds more feminist ideals.
Okay.
All right. Stargate or Farscape?
Okay.
Which, and I apologize, I didn't have a better phrasing for this, so if I offend somebody, I'm just going to offend them, but that's just happening. Oh. Which is a better second tier sci-fi series?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my answer.
I'm going to stick with mine, too.
What were your answers? I don't remember.
Stargate.
Mine was Farscape.
I'm going to have to change my answer to Farscape.
Okay. Because
I did eventually watch a bunch of it, and especially with Jim Henson's Creature Shop involved.
Mm.
Holy crap, was that quality.
I mean, you get a good Jim Henson creature in there. It's
yeah.
Tough, but... I have not actually seen any Farscape, but as listeners may know, I have recently watched all of Stargate. Thanks, Joe.
Yep.
Sci-fi was, I want to say, pretty handily built off of Farscape and reruns of The Twilight Zone and then Mystery Science Theater. Like, those are the three pillars, I feel, that built sci-fi as a cable network.
Okay.
I can see that.
Yeah. Oh, and Outer Limits, I guess, the remake of the Outer Limits, but it's fine. I think Babylon 5 is probably the best B-tier.
And
not one of the choices.
Babylon 5 then. Yeah. I was curious where Farscape fell. So
I would say Farscape above.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I love Stargate. It's got MacGyver in it, but
right.
But you can't beat a Jim Henson creature.
You can with your hands because they can't feel any.
Jenny's beating up moments.
Made me sad.
Take that. Okay, question number 5. Salsa or James? Who would make the better space hero?
James. I would be villain straight up.
I could see you more as I wasn't thinking villain in that context, but I can see you more as like a barkeeper or something like that.
Oh yeah.
See, I could see Salsa as like a Mal, right? Like I could see Salsa as a Mal character.
Absolutely.
Very swashbuckling. I'm
uncompromising but morally gray.
Yeah, that kind of a thing.
Okay.
James, I would actually put you more as in like a Daniel Jackson. Kind of a space hero.
That. Yeah. I'll definitely go for that.
About culture and kindness and acceptance and getting to know people and compassion and enlightenment and shit. Yeah.
I think if I had to identify myself as a space hero, it would probably be the star of, and I'm trying to think if it was Space Ace, the video game that was by the same studio that did
Dragon's Lair?
Dragon's Lair, yeah. Yep. Where he just dies constantly. Just like he's this cartoonish hero that just dies constantly in the worst possible ways. Yeah. I think that's probably more my speed, but I'll take it. I'll take a Daniel Jackson all day.
Actually, the two of you are the main characters in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. James woke up and somebody was trying to bulldoze his house.
And I was like, grab your towel and shut up.
Yeah. Yep. Yes. That seems right. That's
exactly what you two are.
That seems 100% correct. Jenna's our Marvin.
I mean, you're not wrong. But I kind of wish you were. I have some concerns, but
me
also
too.
About some evil plots. So,
fair enough.
All right.
That concludes our Fast Five. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send 2 emails to salsabeeblebrox@aonpodcast.com.
Navi's going to send one to that address, so I hope you are mid-setting that up now.
Oh, no, it can bounce back for all I care.
I once set up a friend with 20 different email addresses, beginning with @dumpsterfuck.biz.
Anyway, send 2 emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. The first one should contain nothing but the choices, and the second one should repeat those choices and then give us the context. who has a shout out they would like to give this week?
Oh, I do.
Go ahead, guys.
I would like to make a shout out to the Three Kittens Fabric Arts Store in St. Paul. They have a really great selection, and I was able to find some super beautiful yarn for friend of the podcast, Merritt.
Yay,
with the assistance of frenemy of the podcast, Brianna Cecile.
Oh, frenemy.
Yes.
Oh, you do you know about we have a rival podcast?
Mm-hmm. No, I.
Oh,
they exist only to be the Thorn Enterprise.
Yeah, the High Five guys—they are currently on hiatus because of the planet.
Yeah,
hiatus. Being a literal dumpster fire. But Eric Thompson, Brianna Cecile, and Jason Edstrom are all hosts on that.
Wow. Okay. See, so I didn't know. I didn't know that this was a rival podcast. Like when I did Klingon Christmas Carol for the first time, I was on High Five Guys, but that was before. But that was before Brianna. That was before Brianna joined them. Was a part of it.
Okay.
Like I didn't know that Brianna was part of High Five Guys. Oh, yeah. How long has that been going on?
Not as long as us.
That, yeah, we're. I mean, we've been doing this for like 10, 11 years now.
About 11 years. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, close to 11 years.
Close to 11.
Pushing 11 years.
Wow.
God, we're getting old.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll be able to have our sweet 16, or we'll hit puberty. I can't wait for James's voice to crack.
Aw.
Don't hold your breath.
But anyway, sorry, James. Frenemy.
Yeah. Yes, a frenemy of the podcast, Brianna Cecile, helped me to choose some yarn. We went in there together to discover yarn that no one had discovered before, and also threads and things like that. Yeah, and they were extremely helpful and very good about their quarantine procedures and things like that. So.
Nice. I would like to give a shout out to anybody that is working in the food industry right now, very specifically for the next week or so, trying to prepare meals for takeout and deal with whomever may show up trying to demand food services of various types. I just a shout out to you guys because I don't have to deal with those people. And I know it wasn't your choice. I know there are so many other things you would rather be doing. But for those people that are taking holiday meals home, it is greatly appreciated.
Man, I would like to. Oh, did I jump on? Did I jump over?
No,
you, Salsa?
No. If you've got one, go ahead.
I was like, ha! I'm not gonna miss it this time. That was two out of three. This time.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Overcompensate. Well, I would like to second Jenna's shout out. And of course, shout out to the healthcare workers. Special shout out to teachers, especially those who, you know, teach more than I do, like have one class that they're responsible for an entire day, 5 days a week for 9 months out of the year. I also want to give a special shout out to the people who know the difference between inconvenience and oppression.
That's the one.
You know, if not for, you know, I just like I often imagine, it's like, wow, what would World War II have been like for Britain if there were as many people calling that oppression as we have people who call face mask mandates or closures oppression. It's like, But also, I learned that the 1918 pandemic also had people as annoying and clueless and uncompassionate. So
this is why I don't believe Star Trek is attainable.
Yeah. And this is me being diplomatic, by the way. This is me being diplomatic. So lest anybody think I'm being too harsh and unfair, it's like, no, I'm pulling punches as eloquently and as erudite as I can.
As Mr. Parks, as long as you can make it look intentional with your punches so that that stage combat really comes through.
Exactly. Yes. Just to everybody holding it down and finding their ways to make it through. It's like, yeah, there's going to be an end, and the end will come sooner if everybody does their part.
Oh, arguing with someone who called everyone who's masking sheep. I said, no, wolves take care of their pack. Sheep wander off.
Beautiful. Oh, nice. My God. Awesome.
Cheers to that.
Yes.
Salsa, you got something?
Yes. I'm going to give my shout out. Say what?
Try to top that.
Oh, I'm not going to. I'm going the selfish route because that's my move. I'm going to give my shout out to Rogue Siren Suites. My wife purchased a 6-pack of the hot chocolate bombs.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They were delicious. I had the scotchy.
Yes.
Which has chocolate, marshmallows, peanut butter chips, and butterscotch chips inside. And it was quite tasty, if I do say so myself. So,
and you do say so?
If you want seasonal sweets, I recommend Rogue Siren, because they're yummy.
Nice.
Awesome.
Right. Anybody got something to plug?
Woo yeah.
Oh, well, then you had best do so.
Hey, yeah.
The surplus population, what?
Haven't got a surplus right now. yeah. I will be part of the Vilification Tennis Fuck 2020 show, which is not just going to be a show, but a series of two shows on the 31st of December and the 1st of January 2021, just to give the year an extra kick in the ass that it deserves.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, 2020, the year so bad they fucked it twice. Yeah. So there's that. And
I did have a game once.
We are looking forward to sending it off. Yes. So that will be on, again, the 31st and the 1st. And we encourage you to tune in. There will be different performers each night. And it should be spectacular.
Yay! Very cool.
Hooray!
Yeah. Excellent. Our favorite game from the year.
Anybody else? Greg?
No. I have nothing coming up. I've been practicing letting myself rest.
What is that like?
I'm going to reiterate a couple of my plugs from the past of going to a couple pages that I do. Number one being Sterling Craft, which is where I sell all of the stuff that I have made and don't need. And also you should go to Curtains Unfurled, The Craft of Creating Art, where someone on this podcast was a guest recently, and they were fantastic.
Oh, thank you. I was on it. I had a great time.
It was a good one. I have been between the election and the holidays and everything like that. I have been lax in getting a new episode out, but with the coming new year, I hope to have more content in there. So that's what I've got, and I think we're ready to move on. So, does anybody have any final thoughts?
Yes. Bye-bye. I love you. Bye-bye.
All right. In that case, thank you so very, very much to everyone for listening to this podcast. Thank you to Gregory for being our very special honored guest. On behalf,
thank you for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.